Blog Talk Radio.
Truth Seeker, you are listening to the live internet broadcast of Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. I invite your prayer requests, your comments, and your questions about the Book of Revelation. Tonight, we're talking about Bible prophecy. Hear the truth about the coming harvest of the entire earth. The first resurrection and the Battle of Armageddon are recorded and reported in the Earth Prophecy in the Book of Revelation. This is PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, and as Prophet Randy Chandler likes to say, this is where we do it more than we talk about it. But let us begin with talking about Bible prophecy, and then, as always, it will be time to hear from you, to hear your comments about the Book of Revelation, your questions about the Book of Revelation, your perspective, and perhaps your prayer requests. So tonight, we're talking about Revelation chapter 14, specifically the Earth Reaped Prophecy. I want to begin with reading the Earth Reaped Prophecy and then go right into discussing the secrets in this prophecy, specifically the First Resurrection, where it's located in the Book of Revelation. It's in chapter 14. We're going to be looking at those specific scriptures tonight and also looking at the Battle of Armageddon. Where is the Battle of Armageddon in the Book of Revelation? It's in several places. I want to take a look at where it appears in the Earth Prophecy and then talk a little bit about where it appears elsewhere in the Book of Revelation. Let's go straight to the Book of Revelation. You may know that there's a special blessing that comes to every person who hears the prophecies in the Book of Revelation and who obeys those prophecies. That special blessing is noted in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Let's take a look at that as well. Maybe we can end with that. Let's go straight to the Earth Reap Prophecy. Here it is. This is the prophecy that contains the secret of the timing of the First Resurrection and a description of the First Resurrection. Now, as you know, most Bible teachers and most believers who are interested in the First Resurrection, we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. That's my favorite report of the First Resurrection in the Bible. It's also reported in Matthew chapter 24, but we're talking about the Book of Revelation. The Book of Revelation is the final book in the Holy Bible. It's the last book in the New Testament. It's the pinnacle of the Word of God. It's the pinnacle of the Word of God. So it's very important to read the Book of Revelation and, of course, to understand it. So John the Revelator was called up to heaven by Jesus Christ. He had a supernatural experience with Jesus Christ. Two parts. The first part of his experience happened here on this present earth. He was on the island of Patmos, as described in Revelation chapter 1. He heard a voice. He turned around to see who it was, and it was Jesus. And Jesus had some instructions for him. Jesus began to talk to him. He tells us what Jesus Christ looks like. And then the second part of his supernatural experience happened in heaven. Jesus told him to come up here, and he was transported supernaturally to heaven. And when he got to heaven, an angel of the Lord showed him documentaries about future events, moving pictures with sound. Now, today, in our vernacular, when we talk about moving pictures with sound, and it's not a dream, but something that is external to ourselves, something that we're watching, we refer to that as a movie, right? But in John the Revelator's day, they didn't have that vernacular. People weren't making movies, but when he was transported supernaturally to heaven, he watched a type of movie, a specific type, a documentary. So he actually literally watched moving pictures with sound that an angel of the Lord showed him. So these were documentaries created by God, and the angel of the Lord was tasked by Jesus Christ to show John the Revelator the things to come. And John's instruction from Jesus, as noted in Revelation chapter 1, was to write down everything, write down the things that are and the things to come. So John the Revelator learned about the things to come by watching these documentaries that an angel showed him. So first he watched the Seven Seals documentary. Then he watched the Seven Trumpets documentary. Then he watched the 1,260 Days documentary. The fourth documentary he watched was the 666 Antichrist documentary. Then he watched the 144,000 First Fruits documentary. Then he watched documentary number six. I'm going to read to you what he wrote down. Now, he didn't have your cell phone or my cell phone. If he has your cell phone, he could have just whipped that out and recorded the documentary as he was watching it, right? When something amazing or exciting happens today, most of us will have our cell phone with us and we'll just pull it out and we'll record it. Well, he didn't have the benefit of that technology. So he used the best technology that existed at that time, writing utensil and something to write on, writing utensil and parchment. So he wrote down everything he saw and heard. But again, he was watching moving pictures with sound, but it's not something that somebody made up. It was a documentary, real events. He watched a real documentary about soon coming realities, realities that are soon coming for us. They were far off. They were far off in the future relative to the time when he existed on the earth, but they're coming up very soon for us. Now, this is documentary number six that he watched. It begins his report of documentary number six begins with verse 6 of Revelation chapter 14, and it ends at the end of the chapter, Revelation chapter 14, verse 20. I want to read from the New King James Version. Okay, here is the earth reaped prophecy, Revelation chapter 14, the earth reaped documentary. This is everything John wrote down. He's speaking to you and me, and he says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints here, are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Right. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. That is the Earth Reap documentary in its entirety. Now, when you watch a documentary, it's kind of long. A lot of things are happening, and in the same way, a lot of things are happening in this prophecy. So this is literally a documentary about end-time events that John the Revelator watched. I want to go specifically straight to where the first resurrection is reported in this documentary. So there are lots of things to talk about. We've been talking about this documentary since the beginning of August. Every program in the month of August of 2024 has been discussion and analysis of this prophecy. So if you haven't had a chance to hear the earlier broadcast, I encourage you to listen on the using the archive, blogtalkradio.com/liveprophetic. So let's go straight to the specific scriptures that reveal where the first resurrection is. So in this documentary, Revelation chapter 14, verse 14 is the beginning of it. Verses 14 to 16, so that's verse 14, 15, and 16, contain the secret of the first resurrection. The first resurrection and its timing are revealed here. Now let me start with talking about the timing. Revelation chapters 12 and 13 focus on the Great Tribulation. 1,260 days, that's 42 months, that's 3.5 years, that's the duration of the Great Tribulation. After the Great Tribulation is the first resurrection. So there's the marriage of the Lamb. That's the first resurrection, and it happens after the Great Tribulation. So the Great Tribulation is described from the perspective of what does the Great Tribulation mean for those who are in Israel? That's Revelation chapter 12. Then in Revelation chapter 13, we have what is the Great Tribulation for those who are in Christ, the rest of the children of Israel, those who give testimony for Jesus Christ. That's Revelation chapter 13, the 666 Antichrist prophecy. That's John's written report of the 666 Antichrist documentary that he watched in heaven. Now, in Revelation chapter 14, we have a description of what happens after the Great Tribulation. Now, again, we've been talking about the Earth Reap prophecy verses 6 to 20 of chapter 14 for this entire month. Let's go straight to verse 14. It says, then I looked. This is John the Revelator. He's watching a documentary. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud. Now, this is important. We're going to pause there. A white cloud. Recall that the best description, in other words, the most complete description that we have of the first resurrection is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And it talks about he comes with the clouds. And even here in Revelation chapter 1, talking about the return of Jesus Christ, and let me pull that up as well, Revelation chapter 1, we know that when he returns, at his second coming, he comes with the clouds. Let's go there for a second. So there's some key secrets that allow you to key words that allow you to unlock the secret of the first resurrection here. So in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it says, look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes, amen. Is the book of Revelation in its entirety, right? Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 summarizes in its entirety the revelation, the revealing of Jesus Christ to the entire world, and it says, look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him. Now, let's go here to the earth reap prophecy. John the Revelator sees a person on a cloud. He says, then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man. So we have the secret of the cloud. That's very important. And then it says, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man. This phrase, one like the Son of Man, is used in the book of Daniel. That's how Jesus Christ is described there. And very importantly, it's used in Revelation chapter 1 to describe Jesus Christ. So the secrets are here for those who are diligent to unlock them. So this secret here is the reality that Jesus Christ is returning. And when he returns, he will be on a white cloud, and all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we will rise up to meet him in the clouds. Millions and millions, maybe even billions of us. I don't know the exact name, the exact number of those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but Jesus Christ himself will come on a white cloud. He comes with the clouds of heaven. We will meet him in the clouds, but he will be here on a white cloud. Now let's talk about the reality that when it says one like the Son of Man, how you can know for sure that that's talking about Jesus. So in Revelation chapter 1, it says, talking about one like the Son of Man, Revelation chapter 1, verse 13, John says, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. And then later in the same chapter, it says, verse 18, the person he's looking at says, I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. So Jesus Christ is identified as this person that John the Revelator describes as one, someone like the Son of Man. In verse 18, Jesus says, I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forevermore. And John also described him as holding seven stars in his right hand and a sharp two-edged sword coming from his mouth in verse 16 of chapter 1. So my point is, this is definitely Jesus Christ. Now, let's continue. Here in Revelation chapter 14, again it says, then I looked and behold a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, so this is in heaven, crying out with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap. Now, why would an angel need to tell Jesus Christ that the time has come for the first resurrection? Well, as you may know, the Bible confirms itself. We are told that no one knows the timing of the second coming, not even Jesus Christ, but only the Father. So Jesus has to be instructed, he has to be told when it's time for him to return, and at the beginning of his return, the first thing that happens at the second coming of Jesus Christ is the first resurrection. Let's hear that scripture where it says that no one knows the timing except for God the Father. Let's hear that scripture. So I'm going to bring that up. So that's Matthew 24, verse 36. It says, however, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And let me see if I can bring up the scriptures before that so we can have that context. Again, we're unlocking the secrets. We're unlocking the secrets of the Earth Reap prophecy specifically where it reveals the first resurrection. So when you look at Matthew chapter 24, it says, verse 29, as soon as those days of trouble and pain and sorrow are over, talking about the great tribulation, the sun will get dark. The moon will not give light. The stars will fall from the sky. The powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then something special will be seen in the sky, telling of the Son of Man. All nations of the earth will have sorrow. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and shining greatness. He will send his angels with the loud sound of a horn. They will gather God's people together from the four winds. They will come from one end of the heavens to the other. Then it says in verse 35, but no one knows the day or the hour. No, not even the angels in heaven know. The Son does not know. Only the Father knows. Then it says in verse 40 of this same chapter, two men will be working in a field. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding grain. One will be taken and the other will be left. Because of this, watch. You do not know on what day your Lord is coming. And then verse 44 says, you must be ready also. The Son of Man is coming at a time when you do not think he will come. So my take-home point is this. The angel of the Lord is going to tell Jesus Christ when God the Father gives the instruction, it's time for you to return. And we have it right here in Revelation 14. It tells us, and another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud. So this is saying an angel cries out to Jesus Christ, and the angel says to Jesus, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now, what does it mean the time has come for you to reap? It's time for Jesus Christ to gather together all of the people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So that includes two groups. It includes the harvest of the earth, those of us who will be present at the time of the second coming, and it also includes all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life who are in heaven. So as you may know, human beings can be in three places. So right now, human beings live in one of three places. Either human beings live here on the present earth, which is where you and I live, or a human being lives in a prison of darkness underneath the earth in Hades, awaiting the second resurrection, or a human being lives in heaven awaiting the first resurrection. So when Jesus Christ reaps the harvest includes those who are here on the earth and those who are in heaven. So the angel says to him, because again, talking about the timing of his second coming, it says in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 24, no one knows the day or the hour. Again, talking about exactly when Jesus Christ is going to return. No, not even the angels in heaven know. The Son does not know. So who's the Son? The Son is Jesus Christ. It says only the Father knows. So that is why the angel says to Jesus, having an instruction from God the Father, it's time. Jesus, it's time. It's time for you to return. It's time for you to reap a harvest. It's time for the marriage of the Lamb. It's time for your marriage, Jesus. It's time for you to get your forever family. It's time for every person to transition from mortality to immortality. So what is the first resurrection? It's the time when all who are in Christ, we get our immortal bodies, our glorified bodies, our peak performance bodies, our bodies that are 100% free of DNA errors, our bodies that will allow us to live on this present earth, to live in heaven, and to live on the new earth to come. It's a perfect body. It's a perfect body. So here in Revelation chapter 14, verse 14, is the secret of the timing of the first resurrection, the secret of the timing of the marriage of the Lamb. So the marriage of the Lamb is another way of saying the first resurrection. Some people refer to it as the rapture. Now let's continue here. In the earth prophecy, again, it says in verse 14, then I looked and behold a white cloud. So we know the significance of the white cloud, right? And on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man. Who's that? Jesus Christ, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud. So what does the angel of the Lord say to Jesus? The angel says to Jesus, thrust in your sickle and reap. Now what is Jesus about to reap? He's about to get his forever family in the flesh. He's about to get his bride. In other words, everyone who's in Christ, all of the members of the church, he's about to get that. He's about to reap a harvest. So in other words, what is the point of this whole experiment called life? What's the point of planet Earth? The point of planet Earth is for it to yield a crop. What crop? A forever family. A forever family for who? God the Father. Not Satan, not Satan, to yield a crop for God the Father. So it says, the angel says, thrust in your sickle and reap, talking to Jesus, for the time has come for you. Who's you? Jesus. The time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now, the harvest of the earth is referring to those of us who are in Christ. And on the earth at the time of the second coming, of course, there are those in Christ in heaven, and they are also part of the harvest. But this is specifically talking about those individuals who have survived the great tribulation in its entirety. We survived the whole thing. We survived the whole thing. And now Jesus has returned. Now, you might say, I don't believe. I see so many people saying, we're going to be raptured out of here. Really? Really? Well, what about Matthew 24? I heard one Bible teacher refer to it as the greatest chapter on Bible prophecy in the entire Bible, Matthew 24. I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but let's revisit briefly this part talking about the Great Tribulation. Because, again, the first resurrection happens after the Great Tribulation. Now, where is the Great Tribulation described the most in the greatest detail in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 12, the 1,260 days prophecy, what happens to Israel during the Great Tribulation. Then it's described in great detail, Revelation chapter 13, the 666 Antichrist prophecy, what happens to the church during the Great Tribulation. And then after the Great Tribulation, Revelation chapter 14, we have the secret of the first resurrection. Now, in Matthew, talking about the reality that the first resurrection happens after the Great Tribulation, in Matthew chapter 24, it says, verse 29, as soon as those days of trouble and pain and sorrow are over. Now, what days are they talking about? This is talking about the days of the Great Tribulation. This is talking about the days of the Great Tribulation. It says, as soon as those days of trouble and pain and sorrow are over, the sun will get dark. The moon will not give light. The stars will fall from the sky. The powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then something special will be seen in the sky, telling of the Son of Man. All nations of the earth will have sorrow. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. So this is the same thing that it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. All nations of the earth will have sorrow. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and shining greatness. He will send his angels with the loud sound of a horn. They will gather God's people together from the four winds. They will come from one end of the heavens to the other. Now, that's talking about the part of the harvest that's in heaven. In the book of Revelation, we hear about the part of the harvest that's here on the earth. Now, let's go back to Revelation chapter 14, talking about the first resurrection. So the angel says in verse 15, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. What does that mean? That means that everyone on the earth, we rise up to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. We transition from mortality to immortality. We leave behind on this present earth all who are not in Christ. So they're going to watch us as we rise up to meet Jesus Christ. Where? In the clouds. Where's Jesus? He's sitting on a cloud in heaven, and millions of us are going to rise up. From the earth, we're going to transition from mortality to immortality. We'll never, ever fall asleep. In other words, we'll never, ever experience the first death. Those of us who live through the tribulation in its entirety, in the blink of an eye, we're going to transition from mortality to immortality. We're going to rise up to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. It's revealed here in Revelation chapter 14, verse 16. It says, so he who sat on the cloud, Jesus Christ, thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. So that is the secret of the first resurrection in the book of Revelation. So again, the timing of it is revealed. It happens after the Great Tribulation and before the Battle of Armageddon. Now, let us talk about where is the Battle of Armageddon in the book of Revelation. It's discussed in a few places. The key place that it's discussed is in the marriage supper prophecy. So if you're looking at a prophetic timeline, three key events happen like this. The Great Tribulation is followed by the first resurrection, which is followed by the Battle of Armageddon. Now, there's some events that happen in between those events, but these are three key events. First, the Great Tribulation, then the marriage of the Lamb, That's the first resurrection. Then the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the Battle of Armageddon. That's what we're going to be talking about in September. We're going to talk about the Battle of Armageddon in September. That's the ninth documentary in the book of Revelation. So we're going to start talking about that this Sunday. But where is the Battle of Armageddon in this Earth Reap documentary? So the first resurrection is discussed here, but also the Battle of Armageddon. Now consider this. In the United States of America right now, we have a presidential election happening. Now, Michael Moore might decide to make a documentary about the 2024 presidential election, and his documentary would include some key events. And then perhaps Tucker Carlson might make a documentary about the 2024 presidential election. His documentary would have some key events. And then let's say Rachel Maddow makes a documentary. Her documentary would have some key events. None of the documentaries would have exactly the same pieces of information. Who Rachel would choose to focus on, who Tucker Carlson would choose to focus on, what Michael Moore and who Michael Moore would focus on, it would be slightly different, yet all three documentaries would be focused on the same election. So now we have, in the book of Revelation, 12 documentaries where some of the events appear in multiple documentaries, but the extent to which the event is discussed and the perspective of it depends on the documentary itself. So here in Revelation 14, the point of the documentary is to discuss the reality of the harvest, how the earth is going to yield a crop for Jesus Christ, but the earth is also going to yield a crop that's going to Gehenna. There are also going to be those individuals at the Battle of Armageddon who are going to experience the wine press. They're going to experience the wrath of God, and their blood is going to flow for 180 miles. That's the New Living Translation. And here in the New King James Version translation, it says it flows for 1,600 furlongs. Now let's talk about the Battle of Armageddon here. Then we're going to go to callers. We're going to go to callers for prayer, for questions, for comments about the book of Revelation. So our second secret, our second discussion point for analysis tonight, where is the Battle of Armageddon in this documentary? So Revelation chapter 14, 18 says, and another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Now notice we keep hearing this language of sharp sickle. And there's the discussion of reaping. In other words, getting something. Let's go and get a... So Jesus is reaping a forever family, and now something else is going to be reaped. Something else is going to be reaped. And it says, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So earth's crop refers to those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Christians who are here at the time of the second coming, and clusters of the vine of the earth refers to those who are at the Battle of Armageddon, who have taken the mark of the beast, and who are fighting in the armies led by the Antichrist. So note that the Battle of Armageddon, it's not going to be fought everywhere. It's going to be fought in a specific place. I heard one person refer to it this way. It's a local battle, right? So whenever there's a war, there's not war everywhere. Maybe there's a war in Iraq, or there's a war in Afghanistan, or there's a war in Somalia. So the Battle of Armageddon is going to be in Israel. And so here, the wrath of God is going to be unleashed on the enemies of Israel, who are therefore the enemies of God, because they've come against his people. And what's going to happen to them? Their blood is going to flow for 1,600 furlongs. So here is the key word that you need to unlock the secret of finding out where is the Battle of Armageddon in the book of Revelation. The metaphor used to describe the weapon of choice used by Jesus Christ to kill all of the enemies of Israel at the Battle of Armageddon is the wine press. So the wine press is used to describe what's going to happen to those individuals who are the enemies of God. Their body is going to be, it's going to be crushed in such a way that their blood will literally be expelled. There's so many people in the armies led by the Antichrist. And when you look in Ezekiel and you look in other books, some of the books of the minor prophets, we see some of the nations that are going to send armies, some of the nations who are going to send armies, but 100% of the people who are in the armies led by the Antichrist, 100% of those individuals are going to die. And this is referring to, this is referring to their death. So verse 19 says, so the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city. And blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. Now, in order to really know without a shadow of a doubt that this is referring to the Battle of Armageddon, you need another secret. We're going to go to that, and then we're going to end this part of our talk for tonight. We're going to go to hearing from the people of the Lord. But let's first go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, let's go there so you can hear about the wine press. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 21. Now, here you're going to hear the full description of the Battle of Armageddon. And the key point is to hear where it describes the wine press. So Revelation 14 gives us a snapshot of it, because that documentary is about how Jesus Christ is reaping. He's reaping his forever family, and then he's also getting judgment. He's unleashing the judgment, the fierce wrath of God. And so there are different groups of people. There are different things being reaped. Now let's go here so you can hear the secret of the wine press. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. This is talking about Jesus Christ. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress. Okay, this is talking about the Battle of Armageddon. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, this is talking about the Antichrist, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. So this is the Battle of Armageddon. Then it says, then the beast was captured. Uh-oh, the Antichrist loses. Then the beast, that's the Antichrist, then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now here's the part that gives more description of what we just heard in the Earth Reap documentary. Here's the last part of Revelation 19, verse 21. It corresponds exactly to Revelation 14, verse 20. You say, well, how can it correspond? You know, chapter 14 and chapter 20, because in chapter 14, we have a brief snapshot of what's described in great detail in Revelation chapter 19. So now here is more information about the people who were killed. We learned in the Earth Reap documentary that the blood is going to flow for 1,600 furlongs. The New Living Translation describes that as 180 miles. Now verse 21 says, and the rest were killed. So this is all the people in the armies led by the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon. It says, and the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. So that's the two-edged sword that comes out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, described in Revelation chapter 1, and now here again in Revelation chapter 19. And it says, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. So when all these people die in the wine press, they die in the wine press at the Battle of Armageddon. Again, that's a metaphor to describe what literally happens. Jesus, his weapon of choice is this two-edged sword that comes out of his mouth. Now, this sword is so dynamic. It's so fantastic. It's so amazing that when it comes out of his mouth, it's able to kill millions and millions of people. And the blood, they're literally squeezed, and their blood is going to come out. They're going to experience death because they are the enemies of God. They have taken the mark of the beast. They have worshipped the statue of the beast. They are there in Jerusalem to take out Israel. They are with the Antichrist. They are in the armies led by the Antichrist. They have made themselves enemies of God, and now they suffer the wrath of God, the judgment of God in the wine press. When that two-edged sword extends from the mouth of Jesus Christ, they die. Now, they die, and what happens? It says, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Another translation, it says, the vultures gorge themselves on the flesh of all who died. Another translation says it that way. So what's the take-home point? What's the take-home point? So we've seen today that in the Earth Reap documentary, there are many secrets. Two key secrets are that, number one, the first resurrection is revealed. The first resurrection is described. Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 to 16, all of us who are here after the great tribulation, we are going to participate in the marriage of the Lamb when the earth's crop is harvested. That secret is talking about the part of the harvest, not those who are in heaven who are going to transition from mortality to immortality, but it's talking about those who are here on earth transitioning from mortality to immortality. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, it's described as two parts. First, those who are in heaven, their bodies are going to rise up. They're going to put them on to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. And second, those who are here on the earth at the time of his second coming, second, we transition from mortality to immortality, and we rise up to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. Hallelujah. Now, the second secret we unlock today, the reality that the Battle of Armageddon is revealed, We just get a quick snapshot, but the Battle of Armageddon, the reality that those people who are enemies of God, Jesus Christ is going to reap something. He's going to take the clusters of the vines of the earth, and they're going to experience the wine press, and the fierce wrath of God is going to be unleashed there at the Battle of Armageddon. The blood's going to flow for 1,600 furlongs. Now, I've often wondered how many are going to be in those armies led by the Antichrist. Now, Russia's one nation that's going to send armies. They're going to send their army. We'll get to talk about that on another day. But those two key secrets were discussed. It's time to hear from you. It's time to go to callers. PGN is a place where we are here to minister to God's people. I'm here to share secrets of the book of Revelation and to pray for God's people. I see 903-828 and 502. On Sunday, I missed a call because we ran out of time. I'm going to do my best to make sure that never, ever happens again, that we get to every person who has called. So I'm going to start with 903, then we're going to 828, and then 502. I'm going to unmute you now, 903-253. Who am I talking to, and where are you calling from?
You're talking to Carla. You're calling from Texas.
Carla from Texas?
Yes.
Amen. Okay, I just want to write down Carla from Texas. And Carla, are you calling with a comment, a question, a prayer request, maybe all three? Which thing?
Oh, I'm just calling for prayer, but I really enjoyed the message tonight about the coming of the Lord and how he's, you know, we're going to range and we just stay in him and just trust his word and that he's Alpha and Omega, that he's going to beat the enemy, you know, in our life, you know.
So amen.
I just really, yes. It was
hallelujah. Well, Carla, I'm going to put you on hold so I can pray for you, and then I'm going to come back so we can chat.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Carla. Thank you, Lord, for Carla. Carla, as you were talking, I heard and saw timesheets. I heard and saw timesheets. I don't know if you work with timesheets in your job. Thank you, Lord, for Carla. Timesheets. This is a woman who's responsible for recording people's time and making sure people get paid on time. Hallelujah. Carla, I see something about ethics. Seems like you had, okay, I can just say what I'm seeing. Some kind of issues where, I don't know if it was pressure to change the timesheets or people wanted to record hours they didn't work. Something with, like, ethics and payments and the work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I used to work at a place where there were it was like a phone center. And, Lord, help me to understand what you are showing me. I hear the Lord saying you're responsible for training others, and something about the phones. They got to get on those phones and talk to the customers and handle complaints. Handle complaints. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, thank you for giving us this information. Lord, what else would you have me to say to your precious daughter? Hallelujah. I hear the Lord saying, this is going to sound odd, a wedding, what sounds odd to me, a wedding coming up, you doing stuff to help somebody with a wedding, I don't know if it's your daughter or if it's your wedding, something, I see, I think it's somebody else's wedding, but you're helping, you're helping with, like, the logistics and doing stuff kind of behind the scenes. Wow, busy lady helping a lot of people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to unmute so we can hear from you. Yes, Carla, what does it all mean?
Well, I know I have been asking God, you know, for, you know, direction for a job, and I don't know if he's now trying to tell me to stay in. I'm kind of like a caregiver, an overseer. You know, I hire people, and then they come in sometime, want to do evil things. And the last job I left because timesheets and money laundering that I've seen that was getting ready to happen. So I just left.
Oh my. So, wait a minute, you're saying you saw that they were about to do, did you say timesheets and money laundering?
Yes, because I always, on the job that I have, you know, going into the people's homes as the caregiver, I always be like the leader, and I keep up with
yeah.
the timesheet. And a lot of the time they do want to be paid for what they haven't done, or they want more money, or they try to take the money. And this last job that I just quit probably in February, you know, it really was getting ready to get bad. So I just told them, I said, I have constantly told you all that they're just taking the money, and it's like they didn't care, and I didn't want to be tied up in the, you know, the money because I was handling the money. So I just
yeah.
tell them, you know, left the job, and I said, Lord God, I said, I don't want to do that anymore, you know. So I had went to try to get on at the post office, but I don't know, do I supposed to go back to continue to train the people? Because I would train them, you know, how to be the caregiver, everything that they need to do on the job. And because I was kind of like my own business, but I just said, you know, it's too much because people want to come in and feel like I should just play favor and just do all kinds of things. But that last one in February, it really was getting, you know, that. And that's how I was going to end up in court trying to find, no, I didn't do it. It was, you know, them. I tried to tell the family. But they was, she was an older lady, and so it was like they was taking her, had started beginning to take her word over mine. So it was like, okay, I'm going to just move myself.
Wow, that's really hard when you are dealing with those kind of ethical issues. And as a woman of God, you know, I can only imagine how stressful it is when you're working hard and you want to do the right thing, and then you have people pressuring you to do the wrong thing. And, you know, to for somebody to want to get paid or try to get you to pay out or bill for hours that weren't worked, that's unethical. That's, yeah. So are you saying, did I hear you say you quit because it was about to get even worse?
Yes, it was about to get worse because of the lady was, she was an older lady, and she had also worked, like, in the office of nursing homes. She knew the rope, and she just came in, and she was that fast talker to the family, and money would just go. It had really, and I said, no, this here can really end up in court, you know, and they're listening to her, and I said, no, I'm not going to be in the midst of this here, so I just quit in February.
Amen. Now I heard.
I'm doing my business.
Okay. So far, you know, as I was praying for you, thank you, Lord. He revealed the things that were, but I heard you say your prayer request is about next steps. You would like to hear what the Lord has for next steps with respect to work. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. I'm going to pray with you right now about that. Lord, we thank you for Carla. Thank you, Lord, that you have shared and revealed information as confirmation for your daughter so that she would know that you are speaking to her through this prayer, that she would know that she knows that she knows what is from you. Hallelujah. Carla, I believe, and let me say what the Lord is showing me. Hallelujah. Carla, I see a train, and this is going to sound, I see you getting on a train kind of like, it's a train to, it seems like nowhere in the sense that it's not like a big city, but it's a place where there's, it can take you to work. So I don't know if, seems like there, it's a train like a, not like a metro train, but like an Amtrak train or some kind of railroad train like that, where you can get on it and you can go to work. Oh, now I got it. Thank you, Lord. Traveling nurse, traveling care person. Okay, thank you, Lord. I don't remember what it's called, but there's a kind of job where you're a caregiver and you go on assignment to help somebody for a certain amount of time. I think it's called traveling nurse, something like that. Yes, thank you, Lord. And I believe that that is the right kind of job for you. That would allow you, I hear, I'm aware that that would allow you to work fewer, it would take you away, but it would allow you to work less. Like you can make 3 to 4 times the pay because it requires you to go someplace and stay overnight with the person. So I see you taking, I see you working for some kind of agency. It might be a temp agency. This is weird or unusual for me. But what the Lord is showing me is like traveling nurse, traveling companion. Like, so you go to where the person is and you literally stay in the home of the person with the person, but these assignments are temporary. And I don't know if they're temporary because the person rotates people, but this will allow you to work fewer months, and your pay is much greater. Okay, hallelujah. Carla, may we hear about that? Are you aware of that kind of job? Have you done that before? Are you considering that? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, that is my business. That's what I do. I do go to different cities like I live. Now I moved to a little small town in Sulphur Spring, and I still drive like to towns and different places, and I do stay overnight with the people, and I do really make plenty of money. And, you know, a few hours, but lots of money because I stay over, you know, and live in with the family, with the person that I take care of. That's been my business for like 25 years, and that's when I had gave up in February because I told God
amazing.
I was just tired of dealing with the people. Yes.
Now, Carla, have we ever talked before?
No, we have never.
Is there any way possible that I could know that?
No. I mean, you hit
no.
it right on the nose. That is exactly what I do.
So I believe that is the Lord confirming that you're in your right line of work and to continue with it. I don't know if that was it sounds like I'm telling you things you already know. I believe that that's confirmation that you're in your right line of work and for you to continue for you to continue with it.
All right. And I also was praying about another car, and I don't know if the Lord want me to get this other car or not.
We can pray about that, absolutely. Thank you, Lord. Carla has a desire for another car. Lord, Carla has a desire for another car. Help her to know your will. Let it be revealed to her if getting another car is right for her. I hear the Lord saying, don't take on any new debt. Don't do any don't do anything with financing. Hallelujah. Carla, I hear the Lord saying she doesn't need another car right now.
I have been approved for another car, but I just didn't feel, you know, kind of right about it. And so.
But listen, you are the boss of you. I can just only share what the Lord shows me and what I hear the Lord saying. I want to say thank you so much for calling. I'm excited to have you here with us. The work that you're doing is so important. I want to say thank God that you stayed in integrity with your ethics. You didn't do those wrong things that you were feeling pressured to do. And I just pray that God will bless your finances and continue to give you awesome work. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Is there anything else we can pray about before I go to the next caller?
Oh, well, I am helping a lady with her wedding.
You are? I had forgotten we had moved on to other things. Wow, what are you going to do for her wedding?
Well, I really don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm helping her in, you know, back in the thing, like giving her advice about, you know, her wedding.
Well, that is wonderful. I saw you doing some actions and just being helpful logistically, so I'm excited about that. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I hope you will be with us again when you can and as you can. Thank you so much, Carla.
And thank you.
It's been an honor to get to pray with you and for you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you. I receive it. Thank you, Carla. I'm going to put you on mute. Next, I'm coming to 828, then 502, then 720, 828-442. Who am I talking to and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Jennifer from North Carolina.
Jennifer from North Carolina?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Jennifer. May I pray with you tonight?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'm going to put you on mute, then I will come back to you so we can chat. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Jennifer from North Carolina. Thank you, Lord, for Jennifer from North Carolina. Thank you, Lord, that she is an awesome, awesome woman of God. Hallelujah. Jennifer, I see... I can just say what I see. Seems like there are a lot of, I see children around you and demands, but like the demands, it's like you need it. What I see is a picture. I see a woman standing and their little kids, like around, but the woman has her own kind of issues. So I don't know if these are other people's kids or if they're your kids. Okay, now I hear the Lord saying, you were one of the kids. Now I got it. Thank you, Lord. So, Jennifer, what I see is the Lord is showing me your mom had so much going on with her own mental health issues that she was very out of touch. When her kids, when these specific kids that I'm being shown that were hers were little, okay, and that was very tough. That caused you to have like a burden. Oh my gosh, my back feels like heavy, and now my back feels heavy. Like I can feel that was like emotionally, like somehow that ended up being a burden for you. Like her burdens became your burdens. Hallelujah. I see where, the Lord is showing me that caused you to grow up fast, and I just see you standing up really straight and being like awesome and amazing and intelligent and courageous and brave. Everything that your mom was not, you became. Everything that it's like every place where she was weak, you became strong. I'm sorry, Jennifer. When I say I'm sorry, I'm just saying I'm feeling compassion that, like, for you having to grow up fast. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I hear the Lord saying praise for his daughter who's awesome and amazing. Praise for his daughter who cried tears by herself. Praise for his daughter who was lonely but kept going. Praise for his daughter Jennifer who was there for others when no one was there for her. You're the lily in the valley. You're the lily in the valley. God is with you. God is for you. God is shining his light on you. Praise for Jennifer, his awesome daughter. The Lord is praising you. He's recognizing you for your integrity, recognizing you for who you have become and who you were. You have endured. You know, it was very interesting. Prophet Randy was talking about Job enduring in teaching last night and last week, and the Lord is showing me that you endured, and he is praising you. Hallelujah. I'm going to unmute so we can hear from you, Jennifer. Hallelujah. Thank you. Jennifer, may we hear from you?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I muted myself because I was crying.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jennifer, were they tears of joy or tears of sorrow, maybe both?
Tears of sorrow, but also tears of joy because I feel seen by the Lord. That was like 100% accurate and is still happening. I'm 53 and my mom is still, I'm still having to carry those burdens. And
wow. Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
I just, like, the accuracy was just spot on.
Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, Jennifer, God knows his children. I'm not anything. I don't know anything unless the Lord reveals it. He reveals it because he loves his people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your love for Jennifer. Thank you, Lord, that she is seen. Thank you, Lord, for giving her comfort. Jennifer, is there anything else that we might pray for you with or about? I just want to make sure that
That whole situation, definitely. And then on this weekend, pretty big weekend for me. And
tell us about that.
Well, I have my fiance coming to meet me. So we have a long Labor Day weekend together, and it's just really needed for me, you know, just to get out, because I do live with my mom still, my situation.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it was a tough day, a really tough day with her, and it's a tough day every day, but today was,
See, that's amazing. The Lord... He went straight to the key issue for you for today. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Well, he speaks to me, like I'm his child. Like, I mean, we are his children, but we have this thing going on where he like leaves me toys, like literally like toys and things, he like tells me where to go, and then there's toys, and it's just building, like, yeah, like he's definitely my daddy. He's my Abba Papa, and he wants me to play, and you know I was robbed of my childhood. I did grow up very fast. I had to, and something I don't really talk a lot about, but
I can. I can understand that. Well, I'm glad to hear that you have a good weekend coming up.
Yes.
And that your fiance coming. That's wonderful.
Yes. It is. I'm excited. He should be here in a moment.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, I want to thank you for calling and for being here with us tonight. I have a few more callers. Is there anything else that we might talk about or that I can pray with you about before I go to the next caller?
No, just that, like, I'm just really expecting God to move this weekend and just give us revelation and answers and direction. So, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So, did you say you're all set, or should we pray about what you just said?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you that Jennifer is looking to you, Lord, for guidance, and your word says that you have not because you ask not. And so, Lord, we're coming to you praying according to your word. Lord, let every blessing that you have for Jennifer and for her fiance and for their relationship, let it come to pass, Lord. Let every wonderful plan that you have for them come to pass and come to fruition in wonderful and exciting ways. Lord, we pray for safe travels for Jennifer and her fiance. Lord, we pray that you would bless them with transportation that is useful and easy. Help them to have safe connections as travel is happening, as he comes here and then as he's going back. And Lord, we pray that they would have delight, like something about the food is delightful or delightful treats, something about food and delight. Lord, let them have wonderful eating experiences. I think that has a special significance for one or both of you, something to do with that. So thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Jennifer. I look forward to you being with us again.
Thank you.
Okay, okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. So next I'm coming to 502 and then 720. I'm going to unmute you. 502-548, who am I talking to and where are you calling from?
This is Greg, and I am from Kentucky.
Hey, Greg, thank you for calling. I'm going to are you calling for prayer? I want to get to pray
yes.
with you, but let me confirm.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to put you on mute, and then I'm coming back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Greg from Kentucky. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. Greg, I see you with a microphone in your hand. I see you with a microphone in your hand. I see you in the microphone in your hand, and you're talking. You're talking. You have so much to say. You have so much to say and so little time. You have so much to say but so little time. Greg, I see you with a microphone walking back and forth on the stage. So much to say and so little time. Greg, I see you also crying in front of people, being very open about your pain, being open about your pain that allows you to connect with people. I see you being transparent, very transparent about your shortcomings and your flaws. That allows people to see how far you've come, and that gives them courage and faith, believing that if God did it for you, that he will do it for them. I see you being very honest about things in your past in a way that's shocking, And I see you crying genuine tears about sorrow for things that you did and things that were done for you, but mostly things that you did. And this transparency causes people to feel like they know you, like they can trust you, and to believe that they really can overcome drugs, they can overcome a difficult past. Wow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I just see you standing with that microphone in your hand on the stage. And I hear the Lord saying, the whole world is a stage. The whole world is a stage. And you're going to tell people, and I hear that your key message is that Jesus Christ is coming soon. That is your key message. Hallelujah. I want to unmute so we can hear from you. Thank you, Lord, for Greg from Kentucky. Hallelujah. Greg, may we hear from you?
Sure. So if I hadn't been muted, you would have heard me laugh out loud whenever you said you saw me with the microphone in my...
When I said which thing? Were you laughing out loud?
When you said you saw me with the microphone in my...
Oh, okay. What was funny about that?
For well over 20 years.
Amen.
I'm a singer. I've been in pulpit 3 times, twice with youth and once on a regular service. Wasn't really my forte, but that was back in the early 2000s. But, yeah, I've been singing bands for several years, a couple of Christian bands and the rest of them secular.
Yes, now I remember when you called on, you were on with your lady last week. What I didn't know, what the Lord was showing tonight, what he was revealing is about this vulnerability and this transparency. Is that something that has happened already, or is that something
with her,
to come?
Yes. If she was on the line with me right now, she would be like, oh, my gosh. The last several weeks, both of us have been doing that, but she could tell you that she saw things in me that she has never seen and never thought she would see.
Wow. That vulnerability.
Yeah, and it was that. It was very much. It was owning up the stuff, admitting, you know, stuff where I didn't handle things correctly or, you know, things that caused her pain. Stuff like that. But yeah, it was everything that you said when you were saying that. I'm like, that's just what I did with her.
Wow. You know what's so powerful about that is when you can show people where you've come from and then where you are, and when you're not afraid to tell them and reveal the tragedies that have happened because of a wrong decision, that gives them confidence that they can overcome their tragedies, their wrong decisions, that God can move in their life despite the mistakes that they've made. It's very powerful when a person can be open that way. And I just, the Lord was showing me that that's something he's given you, and that's something that's a way that you're ministering to people, you're reaching people, you're causing them to be able to be vulnerable and courageous and to believe God to take them to a place that they haven't been, where they want to go. Sometimes people want to go to a place with the Lord, but they struggle with believing God can do it. And they say, well, my life is such a mess, or I've made so many mistakes.
Are you still there? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, I'm just pausing so you can say whatever you'd like to say.
Well, two things. One, I'm very intermittent on coverage, and I'm always praying without calling. Two, I just added Jennifer back in because I think she might want to weigh in on what you said about vulnerability stuff.
Oh, I'm sitting here listening, and yeah, he's on his way here, and yeah, the was spot on. Greg has humbled himself. I don't recognize him. It's been amazing. The Lord just, I mean, it's been a tough road, and the Lord just kept telling me to love him. And he just turned around.
Wow.
For better. Yeah.
Praise God. Turned around for the better. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
It's beautiful. It's very beautiful what he's done.
I'm still having trouble believing it.
I am. Well, not after listening to this word. I know the Lord is speaking to me, too, because it's been so dramatic and in such a quick time that I'm like, okay, is this lasting? Is this for real? So, yeah. I needed to hear this tonight, really. I mean, I know I felt it was real, but I mean, this is just confirmation and gives me more just moving forward with Greg. It's very helpful. Deliverance.
God. Praise God. I want to say thank you for calling and being here with me and with us. Is there anything else I can pray with you about before I go to our next caller, 720 and then 111?
I want to say a quick prayer about my job. Like, I'm struggling with mine right now. I've got a couple of interviews coming up. And I just
yes.
Just whatever God says.
Amen. No problem. Thank you, Lord, for Greg. Lord, thank you that he has a heart to hear from you, that he is seeking your will with respect to work and a job. Thank you, Lord, that your word says you have plans to give him a hope and a future. And so, Lord, we just come praising you for your awesome plans, your plan for salvation, and your plans with respect to work. And Greg, I hear the Lord saying you are a perfect match for the intelligence community. He's a perfect match for the intelligence community. Greg, I believe, you know what, let me say what I hear the Lord saying. I hear the Lord saying, tell him he's a perfect match for our government. There's something about, this is going to sound odd, but there are odd jobs that have to be done, and you're the man to do them. So, Greg, you said you wanted prayer about your interviews. Let's pray about that as well. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would give Greg favor in every interview that he has. Thank you, Lord, that he is growing in favor with you, God, and with man. And so we speak favor over Greg with his interviews. Thank you, Lord, that you open doors that no man can shut, and you close doors that no man can open. So, Lord, let every door that you would have Greg to walk through, let it open wide. Let him be able to have the job that he wants in accordance with your will. Lord, let him have let him have a quick transition. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Greg, you're breaking up. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Amen. So, yes. Hallelujah. Is there anything else we should pray about before we end? Okay. Well, I want to say thank you for being here with me and with us. I'll look forward to getting to talk to you both again.
Yes.
Okay. God bless you.
Are you doing, what is this? Are you doing Sunday again?
Yeah. Yes. I'll be
we'll
on. We'll be on every Sunday and Thursday. Yep. We sure will. Okay. Wonderful.
Look forward to it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Bless.
Thank you, Lord. Next, we're going to 720 and then 111. I'm going to unmute you, 720-654. Who am I talking to, and where are you calling from?
Veronica from Colorado.
Veronica from Colorado?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And Veronica, may I pray with you and for you?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Okay, I'm going to put you on mute, and then I'm going to come back so we can talk. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord, for Veronica from Colorado. Thank you, Lord, for Veronica from Colorado. Veronica, thank you that you're a woman of courage and faith. Veronica, I would like to see you get it. Let me say what I see. Seems like something happened, and there's medical attention that is needed. You know, you can seek medical attention, and you don't have to tell them specifically the details of everything. Perception, based on what I am seeing, is that you need to seek medical attention just to get checked out. Have them take a look at your head. It looks to me like there was some kind of bruising or something that happened. But I believe that you need to seek medical attention just to get checked out to make sure you're okay. Thank you, Lord, that Veronica is here with us. Thank you, Lord, that you have your hand of protection around her. Thank you, Lord, that she is going to get away and she's going to get free. Hallelujah. Veronica, it feels to me like the most pressing thing is for you to get to a place of safety. Hallelujah. A place of safety. Food. I'm concerned about food and food insecurity. Hallelujah, Lord, we just pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that Veronica's cupboards will always be full. We thank you and pray, Lord, that her finances will allow her to have the ability to buy the food that she needs so that she can have at least three meals a day, that she has enough for herself, that she's able to share with others if she wants to. Thank you, Lord, that you have a will for her to have a good diet, to be able to eat healthy foods. And so, Lord, we just call in finances, Lord. We just speak blessings according to the word of God over Veronica's bank account. Lord, we pray that every dollar that she is owed will come her way. We pray that every inheritance that she has due will come her way. We pray that her finances will overflow, that she would have the ability to eat whatever she wants, whenever she wants, and that she would be safe. And, Veronica, I feel like you need a vacation and rest, and so I want to pray that for you too. Lord, we pray that right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that Veronica will have a safe place to lay her head and that she would be able to rest and just rest and get restored. Just rest so her mind can just relax. Sometimes, you know, there's a phrase, there's a boxer who used to say that he liked to think distant thoughts. And sometimes, you know, there's a time and a season for everything. Sometimes it's a season not to work, but it's a season to rest. And I believe that the Lord's going to lead you into a season of rest, mental and physical rest. And I just want to pray that about that right now, and that you would have the finances to do that, and you would have the ability to be in a place that is comforting and easy. And I hear the Lord saying she likes to hear the birds singing. She likes to hear the birds singing. And so I pray that that would be a circumstance for you as well. Hallelujah. I'm going to unmute so we can hear from you. 720-654. Is
Thank
that you Veronica?
No, it's 654.
Okay, did I unmute the right person?
Yes.
Is this you, Veronica?
Yeah, do you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You were laughing. Tell us about the laughter.
I do love to hear the birds. Yes.
Singing. Wow.
They express freedom. They express happiness.
Amen.
Yeah. And I've been feeling like I have to, like, run away, like, get out. Like, right now. Like, I have to get out. Like, but my car is broken. Otherwise, I would have been packing and leaving, like, right now. Like, right now. Like, 5 minutes ago. And I do feel like God wants me to, yes, rest. I feel oppressed. I don't know what is in my stomach, but I do have food issues and everything that you talk about it, pray about it, is to the teeth. And I know that God is working it out for my good, and I know He's good and He's going to help me to rest. I love to live in freedom. The ministry the Lord entrusted me with is deliverance. So anything that oppresses me, I feel like it's against my calling. So I tend to run. I tend to leave because I don't like to get the oppression. And like the birds, I had to let go of my bird. I told my bird, you can't go for free because they deserve to be in freedom. And my bird landed in a city called the Bird City in Missouri. And when I passed by, I go and I hear the birds chirping. It's hundreds and hundreds of different birds. And it feels good to even just imagine that my bird will be there someplace, somewhere.
Wow! Okay, and what kind of bird was that you let free? What?
It's what is it called? A cockatoo.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Wow! 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 And so you're going to be entering a time of rest. That's what you're looking forward to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Now, will you be moving forward with getting some medical attention? Is that something that is on your agenda? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I've been postponed, and I have several appointments, and I never went. And I was thinking I was going to get healed supernaturally, but I do have to seek medical attention.
Amen.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, God can get us healing in different ways. And sometimes if you have a diagnosis, then you know what to pray against.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't found out what it was. They said my low count on my liver and my kidney high count, like fibers. And then they say I had colon cancer, and then they say I'm not. And then they say I have something and something else. And so I keep postponing my appointments thinking I'm just going to heal supernaturally. But my mom and everybody else says, you have to go to the doctor. And my doctor says, Veronica, he's my doctor for like 18 years. He says always, you never take medicines and you always believe praying supernaturally. But I always get healed. Like, I had cancer before, and the Lord healed me. And I had different sickness, and the Lord healed me. So this one, I'm expecting to heal on his own, but it hasn't. And it's a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. But and then not knowing what it is, and so then I put it on my blocking thought process, and I don't feel it or believe it or bring it up to my attention. But
yeah.
Now that you brought it up to my attention, it's like, oh, I have to call the doctor.
Amen, amen. And that doesn't negate your faith in God's ability and willingness to heal you. That's there. So those, that doesn't cancel your faith out in any way. So God is not limited. He can heal you supernaturally. He's done it in the past. He can do it again. He can use medical doctors. He can use food. So he's not limited, and I'm not going to limit God, and I hope that you won't either.
Amen. Thank you.
Hey. Well, I'm so happy to hear from you, Veronica, and I'll be believing for you to follow through with God's instructions for you, and excited about what God is doing with you through your deliverance ministry, and hoping that you will continue to hear the birds singing.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Is there anything else that I can pray with you about before I go to the next caller?
No, thank you so much. You just blessed my life tremendously. Thank you.
You're welcome. Praise God. Thank you, Veronica. You are a blessing. God bless you, and I look forward to having you with us again.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Praise
God.
Good
night.
Thank you, Veronica. So I never, never take for granted the presence and participation of God's people. Thank you for everyone who is here. I'm going to go next to 111. I'm going to unmute you. So this call is coming up as 111. 111. Yes. Who am I talking to, and where are you calling from?
You're talking to Barbara from Texas. How are you?
I am well. Thank you, Barbara from Texas. May I pray with you this evening?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'm going to put you on mute, and then I'll come back to chat with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Barbara from Texas. I hear the Lord saying she's busy with the elections. I don't understand that, Lord. She's busy with these elections. Now, when I hear elections, I think of politics. Lord, help me to understand what it means. She's busy with the okay, I hear the Lord saying she's busy with the elections. Help me to understand, Lord, what you're showing me. I hear the Lord saying she's so busy. She's incredibly busy with the church and with the elect, the church and the churches, Barbara, seems like it's some kind of like major church organization, and they have a lot of churches. I don't know like what denomination or organization, but they have like a lot of churches, and that you're really busy with the churches. ES. Now, usually people belong to maybe one church, but I hear the Lord saying and showing me like somehow you're involved with the churches, like you work for a church and their churches, and that she's so busy, incredibly busy. Now, it's interesting, usually when people are really busy, they get overwhelmed and they, like, maybe get tired. But it seems like the more work or the busier you are, the happier you are. And somehow, like, it's easy for you. It's very easy for you to succeed at the work that God has called you to do. He's called, what would normally, it's like when they hire you, you're as good as 10 employees. So they're getting for the price of one what they would have to pay 10 people to do. I hear the Lord saying she's a super worker. She's a super worker. Hallelujah. And I hear the Lord saying he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and his rewards are tangible. I hear the Lord saying she's going to be blessed with tangible rewards. So lots of people, we know about the intangible rewards, right? Like the peace of God, But tangible rewards, that's your portion, Barbara. Tangible rewards. Hallelujah. I'm going to unmute so we can hear from you. Barbara, may we hear from you?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Okay, I am so excited. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I have a lot to do. I'm with a singing group. I went to the hospital for ICU, had to pray them out of ICU, and then they end up in a regular room, and now they're getting ready to go home from kidneys and bacteria and all this, and praying for people. Then I'm in another group that we pray for their souls to be saved. And then I work for another, the intercessor. And the more God put on me, the more happier I am to cast out, rebuke, you know, set the captain free, heal the sick, raise the dead, and just agree with everybody in the ministry. And you know, me and my prayer partners, we all get together and we just pray the kingdom of God's glory down so that people can be happy and set free. And so it's like the more freedom God gives me, the more I can move, you know, in his present will and doing Yahweh, doing it his way and not our way. So, yes,
ma'am. Wow. Wow, yes, the Lord called you a super worker.
A super worker.
Right, like you're doing the work of 10 people for the churches. So do you belong to, like, so you have different ministries that you connect to, or how does, what,
yes,
does that work?
I'm with,
wow,
different
that's
ministries,
amazing.
Groups. I've been with Prophet Randy for almost about 16 years, and then I do another Bible study, and then we have Blog Talk Show, and then I have to run to another church on Wednesday and make sure that we are prayed up in, you know, and do what we have to do at that church. So I'm not trying to take any titles or anything, but I do work as an apostle because it's other ministries that I didn't call out because it would take too long.
Wow. Wow. Well, Barbara, the Lord has, he said it, so you didn't have to say it. He said it for you. Hallelujah. And you know what stood out? What stood out to me was the more that you work, it seemed like the lighter your burden was, which is counterintuitive. Yes. Like the more you do, the easier it gets. That's so counterintuitive. Praise God. Praise God. That's a gift from the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my sister. Thank you, Lord.
Saying the tangible rewards are your portion. So I don't know exactly what those tangible rewards are, but the things that people will look and well, how do I say this? We know about the intangible rewards, but they're tangible rewards, right? Like a house, money, a car, like things. See, things don't have you, but you're going to have more things. The tangible rewards of God are your portion, and it's nothing you can do about it. That's what God is going to give you. Nobody can take it away from you. I believe people are just, you're just going to be more blessed. It's like, you know how at a job sometimes they'll say, oh, the business did well. We're going to give everybody a 20% bonus because our business did so well. It's like rewards are just going to drop on you. Like God is, he is bringing you tangible rewards this way, that way. It's like they're coming from different places because that's your portion. It's coming from God, tangible rewards. I know I said it so many times, but that's what he keeps showing me and saying. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. The gate is wide open. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Praise God.
Wow.
Hallelujah. That I might pray with you about anything specific that you'd like to talk about or have, get prayer for?
I'm so overwhelmed that you already prophesied everything. And I just asked the Lord to take me higher because, you know, because of the things that I do, you know, that I thank him for the peace of mind, the joy. I thank him for everything that he's doing for me. And I don't even know how to thank him, but just praising him and crying and interceding and travailing to thank him and honor him, you know, no matter where I go and what I do, you know.
Thank you, Jesus.
I take no credibility for it, but I don't understand a lot of times how he give me that supernatural strength. You know, because of the reward. It's what you said. Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord.
It's so amazing, Barbara. I've never seen anything like what the Lord showed me about you. That's a special anointing to be able to increase in work, but somehow it's easier.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Like the more work you get, it gets easier for you. Like, praise God.
And I love it. I just laugh about it. I'd be like, oh, Lord, here come the time. So I'm an hour early, 2 hours early, and I'm loyal to my duties, and I'm faithful, you know, and I'm just, Jesus, I love you, not because I've been so good or not because I've been so faithful, but I try to be loyal in everything that I do, you know, and so when I lay down, I'm going to sleep. I'm resting in the presence. I'm soaking in the presence.
Yes, and Barbara, I want to say something that I heard the Lord just say. She has a blue-collar lifestyle but a white-collar bank account. She has a blue-collar lifestyle but a white-collar bank account.
I receive it.
You know, I can give you this example. I have a relative. She never went to college. She just wasn't interested. She could go to college, but that just wasn't what the Lord was calling her to do. And she took a she works what people would call a blue-collar job. But what happened to her as she worked in the Lord, she ended up having more than her relatives who pursued the fancy jobs, the fancy degrees, the things like that. So I don't know your story with all that, but I heard the Lord saying she has a blue-collar lifestyle but a white-collar bank account.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That is so accurate. They don't understand, but I tell everybody I've never worked, but I work for the Lord full-time ministry. It's not me that gets that God just give me these gifts. He rewards them that diligently seek him.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Wow.
I desire to stay in college. I desire, but God said, no, you're going to, he said, let no man teach you. I will teach you. And that's what he did. Praise
wow.
the Lord.
Wow.
Excellent.
Wow.
Awesome.
Praise God. Well, I want to say thank you, Barbara, for calling. I feel just excited about what God is doing with you. Just seeing that special anointing and just being in your presence, I feel encouraged. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And I just want to say everyone who's been with us tonight, the live broadcast, and for those who are listening in the archive, God is with you. Barbara, would you pray for the people of God as you're our last caller tonight, as we're ending this program? Would you pray for the people of God?
Yes, ma'am. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for all your beautiful, bountifully blessings that you poured upon us. We thank you, Father, that whoever hears this broadcast shall be blessed. And, God, you will multiply, and you will give them the overflow, and that you will shower them with your love, your kindness, and your blessings. And, Father, without you, God, where will we be? What will we do if we hadn't surrendered to your will and not our will? We thank you, God, that you'll put your hedge of protection around each and every one. God, we thank you for pulling down every spirit of darkness, the sin of growth, God. And God, we ask that you cover us in your presence. Continue to soak us, God, in your presence, so that we can count it all joy. When the enemy come in like a flood, God, we can renounce and tell him to get back. Get back under our feet. And God, you will heal, you will deliver, and you will save. You will reach the unreachable. You will teach the unteachable. And you will save the unsavable. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, everyone that hears this recording, God, they will go in places that they have never gone in the Lord. You will lead them, you will guide them, and you will order their steps in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, bless their finances, bless them in ways that they did not expect or know of, even the hidden treasures, God. You will give unto them, God, with good measures, pressed down, shaken together, runneth over. And Father, we ask, God, that if there anyone that is sick in their bodies, you will deliver them and heal them and set the captive free. You will give them a peace of mind. Let a wave of anointing come upon your people, God. You have a remnant of people that you have called. There are some that have not reached their purpose, God. There are some that are saying, Lord, how do I do it? What do I do? But you will teach them and you will show them. They will dream dreams and have visions, God, open visions, God. And they will know that you have sent them, God, that you have called. Just like in Matthew 21:3, I have no need for you, but God has need of you. And whatever you do, he has need of you. You have a purpose, you have a destiny, and you will do it, and you will shine just like the bright lights, just like the Zion, Zion. You will shine. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and we decree, declare that every petition will be met in your timing, not our timing, but God's timing, that it is so. And amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
Praise
you,
God.
Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Barbara. That was a wonderful prayer. We're going to end with that awesome word. Thank you, everybody, for being with me and with us tonight. Until next time, friends and truth seekers, God bless you.